this morning and worship together. My name's Kyle. I'm a pastor here at Crossroads Community Church. I get to preach this morning on the verse that I first ever highlighted in high school in the Bible that my dad gave to me. And I've leaned into the scripture numerous times in my life, and God has used it over and over to speak to me. At the same time, there's actually been a season where this verse and this section of scripture has really bothered me and I've had trouble with. We'll get into that in a bit. But let me ask you, what has your attention right now? What have you been thinking about? What weighs on your thoughts, your mind? If you did a little mini life assessment, what takes up your time? Your energy, your money, your concern, your worry. Like, what pulls and directs your actions and life decisions? This is a great moment, and I would say like a God moment, for all of us to have an honest conversation about life priorities as a follower of Jesus and the many things that may weigh us down in worry and distraction. And this is what Jesus is addressing this morning in the Sermon on the Mount. And we have the pleasure, I'm going to invite up Linnea. She's going to read our scripture this morning from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. God's word for you.
Okay, Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 say, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own."
Awesome. Thank you, Linnea. Great job. Let's pray. Jesus, your word it's light, it gives us direction, it speaks to our heart. Would you open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to hear from it this morning? We need to, we want that, would we be receptive in your name? Amen. I'm going to give you a tool right to begin. Usually you give the tools at the end of the sermon, but a tool right to begin. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but these are called prayer breaths. Breath prayers, if you will. You could Google and find like tons of them online, but essentially you just like inhale like a scriptural truth, then you exhale a response. So there's a few online that I'm going to give to you, because today we need practices, because I'm going to talk about a few things, a few like stressful worry, anxiety pieces that we all kind of go through, right? There's moments right now that, like, the news cycle, Saturday morning, we wake up and like there's war and you see missiles and there's social media content that is just, we shouldn't even really be exposed to be frank. Like, there's political wonkiness, like the rising, like there's so many things that can cause anxiety and worry. And it affects like our nervous system, like physically, it affects our nervous system and our souls. And it feels like, I would give you the illustration, it feels like we're standing in a blackberry bush, okay? My son Denver, we were on the dike, and parenting fail, but he crashed right into a blackberry bush off the dike. Shh. But in blackberry bushes, there's God's goodness, there's the berries there, but when you move or try and get out of the blackberry bush, it feels very prickly. And it feels like right now, things feel kind of sharp and prickly when we move around. And so, as a follower of Jesus, with all this stuff, we don't need to pretend these things are small or insignificant. We don't need to pretend that they don't affect us or world events are not happening. We don't need to shelter in and hide. We don't need to be ashamed or shame one another for feeling like the weight of worry and anxiety. And that's not the message or intent this morning. If Crossroads wants to continue to be a soft landing place For people looking for hope and healing, we have to be gracious in understanding of what's happening in the lives around us and the world around us. And the good news is, Jesus speaks words about worry and trust and seeking the Father this morning in a somewhat like crescendo moment of the Sermon on the Mount. Like, this is it. Like, when anxiety and worry can kind of grip and paralyze us spiritually, Jesus calls us to look to Him and to seek Him first as the cure. Disclaimer first. I got to give you a pastor disclaimer, okay? At times, the church has handled anxiety, worry, depression, I think, kind of poorly in a few ways. Like, I think the church has sometimes like oversimplified anxiety, and it's been treated as just like a faith issue. A bit of my story, I've wrestled with all the anxiety and all the letters before the terms in my life, and depression, etc., and years and years ago, I was going to doctors and looking for help. The problem I found, though, they find out that I was a pastor or a Christian, and a lot of doctors, I'm just going to say one in specific, they said, why don't you just pray some more, read some more scripture? And I was very frustrated in that moment. I was treated as if it was solely just like a faith issue. And so I had to, eventually I just go to like physicians and counseling, and I wouldn't even tell them I was a Christian, because I wanted some like medical help that was different than the faith thing. Okay, I'm going to try and play a doctor. I'm not. This is going to be kind of rough, all right? But there's enough good research and educated people in this room to know that scientists using brain imaging have found distinctive patterns in areas like the amygdala and prefrontal cortex in people diagnosed with anxiety and mental health disorders than those who don't, okay? So this means, what does this mean? This means that anxiety has biological and neurochemical components that can be studied and treated medically. This means there's more going on for treatment than simply mind over matter, or just have more faith, just trust God more. So I want you to hear and affirm kind of both realities this morning. Medical health matters and spiritual formation matters as well, that we're going to talk about this morning. And truthfully, like the church crossroads, we have to be aware of this stuff with the crazy amount of anxiety struggles that exists now, especially in our young people, if we're going to engage in a healing and kind of empathetic, loving church culture that we want to be. Disclaimer over. So back to the text, Matthew 6. Jesus commands believers not to worry about daily needs, food, drink, clothing, because he says he's going to provide for his kids. And this was a somewhat insane thing to say, right? Like his followers, people around him, they barely had the daily necessities. And the insane call from Jesus is just to go seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, promising that all the necessary needs will be provided for. I can see the listeners, and like us today, right? Like us today going, like, really? Like, really? Like, really? Do you know what I'm dealing with? Do you know my day to day? Like, the weight I carry. But Jesus, in the text, kind of triples down on this, and he actually says it three times. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. A little bit of background on that little line there. Do not worry. To be pulled in different directions internally comes from the root idea of being divided or distracted in mind. Who in this room does not wrestle with that? I love that Jesus points to nature, birds and flowers, to illustrate God's care for us. The birds, is Jocelyn here? Jocelyn, you ready for your bird trivia? Like, how often is there like bird trivia in a sermon? Okay, you can put it up, Jerry. What is it? What is it? Do we know? The birds of the air. Did you say swallow? Swallow! Swallow! Okay, it's a swallow. It's a swallow. But the idea is, the birds here, right? The idea is these birds in Israel, wild birds, neither farmed nor stored food, these birds, okay? So if God feeds the birds and clothes the grass, he says he'll certainly provide for his kids. Some commentators, now here's the flower. I don't even know how to pronounce this, to be honest. Say the flowers were anemones? 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 You guys got to help me with that one, okay? But these flowers essentially were like, in the day, they were used as fuel for ovens. All right, fuel for ovens. So it's probably the idea here, Jesus going on, And he tends to remind his followers about the fragility of life and sort of giving them, pointing them towards having the eternal perspective of things. In commentaries, it says Jesus could be referencing Isaiah 48, which says, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." So again, Jesus is pointing us towards eternal mindset while reminding us that he does provide on the daily. He then asks a pretty direct question. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And I really wish the Bible gave like the tone of the speaker sometimes. And this is one of those times. Like, is there sarcasm here? Like, is it like really like heavy-handed? Like, what's Jesus' tone when he's saying this? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, the lie of worry is that it promises control and ease of life, right? Like, that's the lie. And we all want that. We all want it. But the lie is that, but it delivers actually strain and unnecessary, heavy, stressful living. Many of our worries actually never occur. How many of you have played out in your head things that never actually come to fruition? Playing the what-if game in your head. The physical body, right, when you worry, it still pays the price. Your spiritual lives actually still pay the price, even if it doesn't happen. And I really like this illustration, okay? It says this, worrying is like carrying a backpack full of bricks of problems that never arrive. Like you're climbing Mount Shriam or doing your Abbey grind or whatever, right? And you have a backpack full of bricks. Why? Why are you doing that? The way it feels real, but the destination and the purpose of these bricks never appear or are used. It's unnecessary weight. And so Jesus is just exposing the poor, poor, poor return on worry and goes, it's not worth it. Look at you. Look at the follow on your body, your spirit, your mind, your soul. You can't add anything to your life by doing this, right? And so the mind, it creates these heavy, panicky, a lot of the time worst case scenario futures that never arrive, usually just as you're trying to fall asleep, if you're like me, right? But hear this. Jesus is not shaming anxious people, okay? That's not the message this morning. He's not ignoring either the times where stuff you've worried about has actually come to fruition and is brutally painful. He's trying to free trapped people from this burden and weight, trying to free you and me from the lie, the tool the enemy tries to sneak into our minds and whispers into our hearts and says, it's not going to be all right. God is not enough. I like what Tim Keller says, pastor, theologian. He says, worry is not believing God will get it right. And bitterness is believing God got it wrong. So Jesus is exposing Satan's tool for what it is. And I love how Jesus does this as he points to creation. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. He directs his anxious disciples, his followers outside. Look at nature. And it's no wonder that we all have these wonderful God moments in nature and creation. Like, it's no wonder that, like, I think, like, no matter your worldview or religious perspective, humanity knows, like, how good it is for your soul just to get outside and go for a walk. Look around at nature and creation. God wants to meet and talk to you through his creation often. I believe that. I really do. So Dr. Jesus, the great physician, would probably recommend what? Limiting screen time, probably. Limiting our news intake, yeah, probably. Separating ourselves from high stress-inducing events and thoughts, and probably just going for some more walks outside looking at his creation. Jesus goes on in the text, and he says, are you not much more valuable than they? That phrase matters a ton. Your Father knows and here states your value as a human, okay? This should encourage your heart and remind you that the Creator of the universe knows your situation and your story. Every one of you in here. And he gets it. He gets it. He is close. He's not a distant God. I don't know who said this, probably a pastor, so I can't take credit for it, all right? But somebody, and it's stuck in my brain, but it said, he or she said, worry fills attention and worships tomorrow, okay? Worry fills attention and worships tomorrow. I'm a bit of a planner myself and long-term thinker, which is good in some ways, and it's applauded by culture in some ways as well. But the temptation at times is I see myself getting grabbed into the anxiety of worry, and I do end up worshiping tomorrow, if that makes sense. In the Old Testament, Israel struggled with this and had to learn in the wilderness about God's provision of daily manna. God gave them daily bread in Exodus 16. They kind of whined and complained like us, but God, in his patience, taught them about daily trust in God and for provision and sustenance. The daily provision mindset seems to be a lesson from Jesus for his followers, for us to trust daily, one day at a time, one day at a time, Crossroads. Give us today our daily bread. You might say, okay, that's great. And I've wrestled with this a little bit. Great, Jesus, just don't worry. Like, okay, how? Like, how do you do that? That's easy to say from your seat. How do I replace worry, anxiety, and all these concerns? And Jesus, he gives the solution or the application. And he says, do this instead. What does he say? Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What is the kingdom? It's living under God's rule and reign, prioritizing his agenda over personal ambition and distraction. What's righteousness? It's living in alignment with God's character and his call to love God, love others. So Jesus kind of gives this clear replacement for focus. Like, it's sort of like, as the young people would say, like a lock-in moment. Like, lock in, followers of Jesus, lock in. Like, if you're ever wondering what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, his apprentice, it is to order and prioritize life around God's kingdom in his ways. And this plays itself out by seeking daily his kingdom. Okay, all you hikers, do you still use compasses? Phil, are you using a compass still? Or is it still like Apple Watch or iPhone that does the compass thing? It's a compass illustration, all right? But a compass sets direction. No planes today from Pastor Jerry, okay? But there is a compass in a plane. Okay, but a compass sets direction and bearing before the hike begins. Without it, without like a bearing and a destination, energy is wasted, you get lost. Ask Phil about that. You get off track. You get stuck. For the follower of Jesus, the compass is your bearing, okay? Jesus is that compass. The Sermon on the Mount is a wonderfully reliable compass and guide for followers of Jesus. Like, it's a manual for following and learning the ways of Jesus, a how-to guidebook for your journey. Curious about Jesus? Here he is. Curious about how to practice the way of Jesus? Here it is. Curious about how like a Jesus-centered church goes about things? Here we go. The path is not easy, full of obstacles, trials, but we do have someone to follow, right? And that guy who is with us, who points us in the right direction in Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Very famous verse. In my personal opinion and experience, churches I've been a part of, and I think it's a church culture thing a little bit too, around us, is that we're kind of weak in the practicing and learning the way piece, okay? So truth gets a lot of attention and debate. Like life, like the life, we love talking and leaning into the hope, and new life and eternal life found in Jesus, but not much about how to live the way, like the way, the lifestyle of Jesus and sort of like spiritual formation. Like, why does this matter? Like, why should you care? This is so critical because your life and your spirituality is a product of your lifestyle, your rhythms, your routines, your priorities. If you want your life to change, you probably have to change certain rhythms and habits. I probably have to ditch the late night nachos if I want to become more healthy, right? But Jesus, in this spiritual way, calls us to practice his way by setting sort of like our affection, our attention on him first. And I think he knows, like I know he knows, that this is going to drive out other, you can call them idols, you can call them other affections, items that give you anxiety that may not be as healthy. So instead of like just don't worry, just don't look at porn, don't smoke weed, stop over drinking, put the phone down, stop being short with your loved ones, stop gossiping, stop overeating, don't overspend, like white knuckling your way to like good behavior, like behavior modification, Jesus goes, hey, like look at me, like pursue me. In the person of Jesus Christ, seek him in his ways. This is your answer and cure for what is potentially ailing your spiritual life. Look at the beauty and character of Christ. This will help drive out a lot of that sin stuff and unhealthy coping mechanisms we all have them, driven by worry and fear and insecurity. And what a beautiful, like, can you picture it? Like, what a beautiful church we can continue to grow in with this as our first priority. Like, let's just keep being a Jesus first and his kingdom type of church. You can amen after that one. Again, I just want to say, you have a say on how things are turning out spiritually in your lives. Like, if you feel like you're in a rut, like spiritually, it may be in part to your rhythms and habits. I like what John Mark Comer says in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Highly recommend this one. Seeking the kingdom first is not about adding God to life. It is about building life around God. So I'll ask you, are there life rhythms and habits that can be worked on or added to help you follow the way of Jesus? Are there rhythms and habits that need to go or be reprioritized? Seems difficult. Hard. Yes, it is. But when God's kingdom is the top priority, he promises what? Like, he makes the promise in the text. He says he's going to provide all these things, like your basic needs. And the freeing part is real. The lightweight living piece is real. Christianity is so much more than just a ticket to heaven later on. Like this ease of spirit when you are in the face of just chaos and danger and uncertainty, it's there. Like Jesus Christ is saying, hey, look to me. You don't need to more worry. Like, hey, look to me. When we prioritize God's righteousness, we find that our needs are met. I've experienced it, and our hearts are at peace. So, as we close, I want to give us a response opportunity. We're going to have a physical response opportunity. There were little things on your chair this morning. Do you know what they are? They're bricks, okay? They're little pieces of paper, but they're meant to be little bricks and pencil, all right? And so this is going to be an opportunity for you to respond towards Jesus, towards the cross. We probably make a lot of decisions that are directionally away from the cross. This morning, God calls you to direct and give attention to him, to cast your worry and weights on him. Let me ask you as we close, are there uncontrollable life outcomes and worries you need to release and give over to God? Let Jesus take them. Let him carry that weight, so to speak. You don't need to bear it alone. And I did too, I just wrote a note here. Like, you may need to consider like medical treatment for like anxiety, depression, like medical grade health issues. Like, please just send Pastor Jerry, myself, a note. We can point you in the right direction with doctor stuff and counseling. No shame, no stigma with that stuff, all right? We want to help you live a life that honors yourself as just like a wonderfully made creation by God. So, there's going to be a song that plays. I think we have one last song. It's like 3 or 4 minutes long. I want to encourage you, if you wish, to write down some of just your worries. There's a few options there. We all have a few, right? That you just, maybe God's just going, hey, I want to give this over to you, and let Jesus sort of carry that weight. And by the cross here, there's a little backpack, and you can put it in the backpack. Nothing weird. Me and Jerry aren't going to go through it and be like, but sometimes these physical getting off up of your chair moments are helpful for you. There's no magic, but I think it is helpful and meaningful in your spiritual walk. So that's your opportunity for you to think on prayer night. We'll sing and watch one last song, and feel free to just come to the cross and put them in the backpack and let Jesus carry that weight for you, all right? Let's pray. Jesus, we all have worries and anxieties. None of us is immune to that on the daily. We want to learn to trust you on the daily for provision, for sustenance, for life. That is very difficult. There's probably some really heavy stuff that's weighing on a number of our hearts right now. Jesus, would you just take it from us and release us from some of that really heavy stuff that we don't need to carry, and that you can do that for us? We love you. Holy Spirit, you're invited to work in a special way during this time in our hearts. Amen.